I'm sure that many of those song lyrics that we have been humming along to will resonate with us and will help us to connect with the ways in which we're feeling, and will help us to keep that open dialogue with God. That these are wonderful songs to be singing, wonderful songs to be humming along to, but great truths that we can also take away with us. And maybe as we leave this place and we walk home or we get into our cars, I hope that some of those lyrics will come back to you and will help you to continue in your worship and in your devotion to God. The coronavirus. It's something that we have spoken about in different contexts, and during the different months of lockdown, we've obviously had different things to say on it, different things to pray through regarding it. And this weekend has created yet another chapter in this narrative of the virus and how we seek to deal with it and get through it. And much has been made on the news and in different media outlets of its impact in various ways, not least on the way that it has affected people's livelihoods, the way that it has affected people's jobs. And we can see on a macro level, seeing how industries have been impacted. We can see numbers of redundancies. We can see people who have needed to take up furlough, and as furlough was kind of supposed to be stopped yesterday, and how the new schemes and the new grants for employed people, for self-employed people, have been coming through. And now we have the furlough, which has been extended by a month. And although, you know, I think we would hopefully agree that the government have done really good things to help our economy over the months, there is still much turmoil, much unease, and much stress and pain for many of our workforce in our nation, which is just as bad, or in many cases even worse, across our world. So we can think of it on a macro level, but we can also think on a micro level as well, thinking about our own personal situations, but also the situations of dear friends and family as well, who have gone through a really difficult time and are continuing to go through a difficult time. Brings to mind one of my friends, someone who is very dear to me, who has spent years and years starting up his own business. He's probably been doing it for over 15 years, and he's working in an industry that was really difficult to get going. And just in the last couple of years, he's really been able to make more and more of a success in his work. He's been able to take on a couple of people to work for him. And he's just spread so much good, so much positivity, created so many breaks for so many people. And yet because of lockdown, his business has just completely stopped. And he obviously worries about when his business will be able to start up again, with especially the social distancing measures. It looks like it might be a while. And he doesn't know what he'll be going back to. He knows that he won't be able to go back to the level that he finished at. How much more work will he have to do to regain his business? It's a difficult time for him. I also have in mind another dear friend of mine who is very talented in their job and in their career, passionate about what they do. And yet their industry has just completely shut down to the point where they've had to try and find alternative kinds of work, nothing to do with what they're trained to do, nothing to do with what they're passionate about, but something to keep them going and help them in their current circumstances. I think of another dear friend of mine who was furloughed for a while and then was working from home, and just from the situations that he's been in, from the stress of life at the moment, but also the increased stress on his job, he's had to go off from his work for a while. The virus has affected so many and has maybe sped up or just exaggerated the feelings and the worries that we had previously, to a point where many of us just don't know what the future holds or even the present. This time has then forced many of us to reflect on work and what it means for us to be part of the workforce, for us to be thinking about the job that we used to have before we lost it, or for us to be thinking about the current job that we have that is so uncertain, or for us to be thinking about the future work that we might need to go into. It makes us perhaps question the importance and the significance of our work, not only to others, but also to ourselves as well. Maybe we used to consider the work that we did as a vocation, as a calling, whether you're a Jesus follower or not. Many people describe their path as a calling. Maybe if that has been taken away from you, it makes you reconsider, what was that all about? Maybe you consider what you do as a career, that you've had a career path, maybe certain qualifications that you've had to do, certain experiences that you've had to do. And now that has stopped, and you're having to think of starting over again. Do I start a new career, or do I look for another way? It makes us think about those of us who have considered work to simply be jobs, and to be thinking, Is it good for me to consider what I do as a job, or should I be trying to consider it as a career or a calling? All sorts of different thoughts will be going through our minds at this time. In terms of our work, we need to think about, how does it affect our broader life plans? If our work has had to change so that we've had to start working from home, or if we've been furloughed, or if we've been made redundant, maybe it affects the location that we're in. Thinking, okay, now that I'm working from home, I don't need to be so close to like the main office. Maybe I can live further out, live somewhere that I really want to live. Maybe through our work situations, we've been struggling in our finances, and we're thinking, okay, we might have to relocate through that. Just through the time of maybe being on furlough, or maybe through redundancy, maybe it has been an opportunity to reconsider what is important in life. And as maybe you've been able to spend more time with maybe your spouse or your children, if you have them, maybe it makes you think, actually, going forward, I need to make more of a priority of this. How does it affect the way that you view yourself? So many of us have our identities wrapped up in what we do. When we meet someone for the first time, probably within the first three questions that we'll ask of this person that we've met will be, what do you do? Because we put so much value in it. If our work has changed, or even if our work at the moment is threatened, so can be our identity. Maybe we worry a little bit about when we meet someone new for the first time, maybe, you know, in a couple of months' time, and they say, so what do you do for a living? And you're kind of worried about what you're going to be saying, what kind of answer you'll be able to give to them, one which that you are happy, hopefully, to give. But maybe it's not that straightforward. Today I want us to explore how, no matter what our situation might be, and we've got a whole wide range of situations amongst us, how there is still a hope and how there's still a purpose to whatever you do, no matter what your job forecast might be. And so for that, I'm going to read a few verses from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, So we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through to 17, and then I'm skipping out a couple, and then from 22 to 24. So let's listen to the word of God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul writes this New Testament letter to the church, he is writing to a very broad group of Jesus followers in what we'd call Turkey today, as Asia Minor, as it was called at the time. And within this group, within this house church or collection of house churches in this city, there would have been a wide range of Jewish people and Gentiles. There would have been male and female. There'd have been different ages. There'd have been people who had been Jesus follower for a while, those who were absolutely new to the faith, some who would have just been exploring the Christian faith. There would have been those who were free people, who were business people, and there would have been those who were slaves. In fact, there's different estimates as to what percentage of the Roman Empire, in terms of population, were actually in the slave trade. And it's between a third and two-thirds of all people within the empire were classed as slaves. And Paul has this difficult task of trying to give advice and give helpful input and direction to this very broad group of people who are in very different stages of life. And he focuses in on different groups, including those who are slaves. Now, sometimes the Apostle Paul gets a bit of a hard time because people read his letters where he's writing about slavery and writing to slaves. And people read these letters and think, why on earth is Paul not just telling them to revolt? Surely Paul knows just how awful slavery is. Why isn't he using his letters? Why isn't he using his power and his influence to tell these slaves, but also to tell the owners of these slaves, what the gospel truth is, what the real truth is? But in this time within the early church, there was already a lot of angst and hurt and speculation and persecution going around the Roman Empire. And the last thing that Paul wanted to do was to stoke the fire more by angering different influential groups who could have just nailed down on these young Jesus followers even more. He needed to be careful in his timing. And just as we see the development and as we see the early church evolve, we see a clearer and a greater understanding and teaching on the importance of freedom for all people. And so he doesn't tell the people who are reading who are slaves to revolt, but rather he encourages those who find themselves in slavery to rather look for meaning in their situations. We could understand if slaves had a very kind of dualistic view of their week and also of their lives, that they would want to be just keeping their head down whilst they were working for their slave masters, that they wouldn't want to be causing attention, that they wouldn't want to be thinking about what they were doing too much, but just try and keep their head down and try and get on with it. Within the empire, there's all different kinds of slavery. There would be those who would be subjected to working in mines and farms, who would really be worked so hard. There were those who were exploited in a whole manner of ways, including sexually. But then you'd have other slaves who had some quality of life within the context. You'd have those who might live in the same homes as their masters, those who were treated, you know, better, if I can use that language, people who were allowed to walk around towns and cities, and because they were clothed in a respectable way, you wouldn't really be able to tell whether they were a slave or whether they were free. But for the most part, or really for all, you would have these people who found themselves in slavery who would just not want to be thinking about what they were actually doing, but just get on with what they were being forced to do. So you could understand if during the week they just did what they had to do, but then looked forward to a time, and not all of them would have this freedom, of course, but some would have this freedom to then gather as a fellowship and to worship God together. Sometimes within the same context and in the same room as their owners, which is very difficult for us to understand in our time. So you could understand if they had this dualistic view of thinking, work has got no value, but I will live for God when I can sing and when I can worship him. But Paul wants the slaves, and he wants all the people in the church, to see that there is a value and a purpose in everything that happens, in all that we do, whether we are working or whether we are worshipping. And that's where we have this wonderful phrase that Paul uses twice within our passage today. He says, when he's writing in the context of public worship, of gathering together, of hearing the apostles' teaching, of singing hymns together, of praying together, he says this. He says, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." He's saying, whatever you do, whether you're singing, whether you're humming, whether you're praying, whether you're listening to the word, whether you're preaching, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that isn't a huge surprise, really. That should be our focus when we are doing anything, when we are gathered together. But what about when we are scattered? What about when the people in Colossae are scattered, whether they be slave or whether they be free? Well, Paul encourages them, again, in a very similar way. When he's just spoken about giving advice to the slaves, he then follows this up by saying, whatever you do, saying it again, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Whether you're based in your owner's home and you're doing the housework, whether you are based on the farm, whether you're based in a mine, whatever you're doing, do it to serve the Lord Christ. Do your best not to be thinking about who you are profiting in your work, but rather think about your greater master, the Lord Jesus, and seek to serve him as much as you possibly can, whatever you do. Whether you are gathered in worship or whether you are scattered in your work, don't try and make some kind of sacred, secular divide. If you're going to sing, sing in Jesus' name. If you're going to do data entry in Jesus' name. If you're going to pray, pray in Jesus' name. If you're going to clean toilets in Jesus' name. There are different experiences that we will have during the week, but all of it can be worship. All of it can be for the honor and for the glory of the name of our Lord. If we are encouraged to dismiss this idea that there is a sacred and secular divide, and this was an issue back in the early church 2,000 years ago, it's still an issue today, isn't it? How, for so many of us, we like to categorize everything into the sacred and to the secular. But if there is no sacred and secular divide, if that is the gospel truth, then by definition, by logic, there should neither should there be a division within the secular of what we do. And therefore, in Jesus' eyes and in the eyes of the kingdom of God, it means that we shouldn't start valuing different kinds of work in differing ways. We shouldn't be separating them out between good and bad, purposeful, meaningless, because all of it, whatever we do, can have a wonderful purpose to it. Therefore, a vocation, a calling, is actually no better than what you might describe as a job. A career is no better than temping. We need to value whatever we do, whether we think it's got great value or not. We need to commit it to God and give it to him. To quote the famous modern philosopher, Mr. Tumble, "It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results." Whilst you may feel frustrated that you can't do your dream job, maybe just through your own limitations, through what you weren't able to study at school or at university, or whether it be through the limits of life and different responsibilities, or because of the economy right now, it doesn't mean that we have to feel upset. It doesn't mean that we have to give up on thinking that we can make a difference. Because although in some senses we may consider that we are going to struggle to be a success, we can all have significance. The world values success. We as Jesus followers should be valuing significance. Significance ultimately for the glory of Christ. So don't allow whatever limits you have from yourself or that have been placed upon you to limit your ultimate purpose. Whatever you do during lockdown, whatever you do for the rest of this year, whatever you end up doing in 2021 and beyond, it is your choice whether you honour the Lord Jesus with it. Whatever your job title, remember that God has given you an even greater title of son and daughter. However you feel about your professional development, remember that God wants to do a great work in you, in sanctifying you by his Holy Spirit. And whoever you work for, remember that God is your ultimate master, who watches over you and who delights in your attitude towards your work and in your attitude towards him. Let's be people who pursue value and hope and identity and purpose and security first and foremost in God. May we be a people who honour and exalt the name of Christ whatever situation we may be in. Amen.